Well, as I look out at you women, we're, like I say, we have so much, so much in common. And you just stop and think of the courting years. See, I'm old-fashioned. We called it courting. Courting, isn't that the way we did? And, of course, then that led to marriage. And then, I don't know about you, but it seems like that we lean on our husbands for our emotional needs, our physical needs, our financial needs. We just lean on them. That's why God gave them to us. And then we invested our lives in their lives. And then when children come along, we invested our lives in our homes. We created our homes. We were the atmosphere to me. Mothers were the atmosphere of the home. Bad, good, or indifferent. I don't care. A father, yes. Very, very, very important. In fact, I get so disgusted, I don't watch these television programs because they make men look horrible. So I don't, you know. But a husband and a father is very, very important. I always, when we raised our four children, is always their father, I told him, was a great dad, was a great father, and he was. And so we are the atmosphere. Now, I don't know, but let's just see. How many of us are mothers? How many of us, yeah, mothers? How many of us are grandmothers? How many of us are great-grandmothers? Okay, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 of us. Okay. And so you just stop and think. All your life, it was important in your home, really, that you as a Christian woman, I'm taking for granted now that I know most of you have come from good churches and all that are saved. So I'm talking to saved women. If I'm not, it's like Bennett said last night, if you're not saved, now is the time. Now is the time to get saved. But I believe in heart we're all saved that's sitting in here. And so you just stop and think. Your life was for others. And that's the way it should be. Our lives were invested in others. Now, oh, I forgot. I got to say this. I forgot the first rule. I'm Elaine Camp. And I am in here to encourage widows. I had to say that because they start recording now. Okay. That's his sign that they're recording me. So pray I say the right things. So now, that's our life. But think of it. It's just, we're in another phase of our lives. Isn't that true? Another phase of our lives. But I got good news. No matter how our heart has ached, no matter what we have faced, there's two things I've always kept in mind. The Lord has never failed us. Never. No matter what phase of life we're in, He has never failed us. And secondly, this is just not talk. It's not talk. God has never made a mistake. Never made a mistake. Just briefly, my husband had Parkinson's for 20 years. The last 7 years, and he even preached. He was a pastor and evangelist. He preached. After he resigned in 1984 as senior pastor, after we'd been in the only church he ever pastored, to cut the story short, he resigned as senior pastor, and he was always an evangelist. I've been across this country when I was younger, all over, loved it. So I not only was married to a pastor, I was married to an evangelist, but he still preached even when he could. His body was horrible. His body was horrible, but his voice and mind was so strong. And so Dave and Dina, my son-in-law, that taught at Bob Jones, took a sabbatical leave for a year to be with us to help me, because I was driving and flying and up all night taking care of him so he could preach and all this kind of stuff. And they did music, and David, bless his heart, helped take care of Don, all this stuff. And they took a sabbatical for a year. What's funny, what the Lord had for them, Don preached 7 more years. And we came off the road. And the last 7 years, my children that lived in Greenville all moved back to Anderson but one and helped take care of their father, which had Alzheimer's in the worst condition, for 7 years, 24 hours a day around the clock. What good kids. And during this time, it was horrible. I'll be honest with you, it was horrible. But all the time, I had in my mind, God had a purpose. God had a purpose in your life and in my life. Things didn't surprise him what was happening. And so, all along, 2 things in mind. God's never failed me. All my Christian life, I've been saved since I've been 13, and this summer I'll be 79. I don't care if people know my age. Queen Elizabeth said, if a lady will tell her age, she'll tell anything. That's not so. But I'm happy in my life. I'm content. And so I make, you know, I don't feel bad telling that part. And so God's never failed me. He'll never fail you, and he never made a mistake. And so we all have different ways of dealing with this losing our spouse. Are we ever lonely? We will always be lonely as far as missing our mates. You never get over it. I don't think you do. I don't. And Don has been gone. He'll be gone just 11 years in August. And, you know, each of us have different emotions and dealing with it. But, you know, the more he's gone, the more I miss him. But that's not a bad thing. I mean, we had a wonderful marriage. He went to heaven on our 46th anniversary. I mean, his funeral was on our 46th anniversary. And when I gave a testimony at the funeral, I looked up, and the very time I said, I do, I was telling him goodbye on this earth to go to heaven. And people said, oh, I think that's so awful that you had his funeral on our anniversary. I said, oh, no, it wasn't awful. It was wonderful. We started together at this date, and we ended together with him in heaven. And so our circumstances are all different. And so what I want to encourage you women today, I don't have all the answers. And we go from, good memories. I see the bad. The bad part, I forget. You know, the disagreements we had. In fact, my children said, Mother, you and Daddy ought to have been lawyers, because we'd sit at the table, you know, and I wouldn't give in and he wouldn't give in. I don't mean spiritual things, but you know how that goes. I'm so stubborn. Oh, gee, that's another story. But, remembering the wonderful things about our marriages. And so... What today, I'm speaking now of what we can do to encourage one another. And I've put down some things. First of all, I call it my spiritual food. We widows, we've got to be faithful to our church. Just, you know, some people say, well, I don't have a husband anymore, so I'm going to slack off here and all. No, it's the very reverse. That's when you really, really got to be faithful. You need that fellowship in your churches. You need the fellowship even with women that aren't widows. And you have an opportunity. We have an opportunity, ladies, to do a lot of things that other women don't have. Now, that we can reach out. And I'll speak of that. And then, oh my goodness, apply the scriptures to your needs. We all have different needs. I know these are just repetition, but these are the truth. We've got to have the Lord meet our needs. And He's the only one, He's the only one that's going to meet our needs. Oh, and our prayer life. Do you know, I could just weep. I could weep to think, as a Christian, I have prayed. I've really prayed. And you've really prayed. But I look back on my prayer life at the age I am now. Oh, how God's answered so, so many prayers for all of us. But at the stage of life I'm in now, if you'd say, do you have any regrets? Not many. Not many. I really don't. But I'll be honest, I do have one regret. I wish I had prayed more. Okay, I want to challenge you. We have an opportunity now. We don't have an excuse now. We don't have an excuse now. Let's buckle down and really, really pray. Really pray. Pray for others. There's always needs of others that we need to pray about. So widows, be faithful in your church. God's going to, through His scriptures, He's going to meet our needs. He's going to help us to pray. And then we've got an opportunity to look around. Yes, we're hurting. We all hurt. But we need to reach out and look at other women that are hurting in other areas to help them. Take time to help other people, other ladies, younger women especially, have they're hurting. Can you imagine raising children in this day and age? Can you imagine? I pray for my grandkids. I'm telling you. We need to really reach out to people that are hurting. Okay, that's that part. Now, how about your personal needs, your desires? All right, ladies, here it is. You can't bring your husband back. No way. No way. So what are you going to do? Just sit? No. My advice is pick up your life where you are or where you've been and go on. You can't change anything. Go on. Do things you've always wanted to do. Now I'm going to pick some of you out. Okay. Right at your age right now, is there anything you'd really want to do?
I would love to travel.
Okay, that's on my list. That's on my list. All right. And you'll get to do that if the Lord lets you live. You're going to get out and travel. You pick your place and you go. How about you, Nanny? What would you like to do? Okay.
And certainly more.
Well, honey, you've done it.
I think looking back over the years of our marriage and children and serving the Lord in church, I think so often, wow, did I really serve Him to my extent that I should have? And I want every day from now on to count and to know that I am serving.
We're all in there. We're all there. And you know, as a pastor's wife, I have that in my heart. We were on a merry-go-round because of our husbands. We loved it. We loved it. But you know what? We got so busy sometimes, we forgot who we were serving. We knew in our hearts we served. But we were on this merry-go-round, and I wish too. And I look back now and think of those things, but I understand now, I want to keep growing. There's nothing keeping you and me or the rest of us from growing in the Lord to be teachable. And so I'm not going to go back there, Natty. Etta. My grandma said Etta and Netta and all these. I'm not going to go back there. I'm going to start where I am now and go forward, because I can't do a blessed thing about my past and that. And God will forgive us. God is gracious and forgive us. Okay. Let's see. How about you? Is there anything you really want to do?
It's interesting because my husband was able to really counsel my heart before he passed away. With his Lou Gehrig's, he did not lose his voice. Mm-hmm. He lost everything else from his feet up.
Yes.
But he and I he counseled and said, do not miss God's purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in this, and I have a lot of things I would like to do, mm-hmm. but I don't want to miss God's purpose. Mm-hmm. One of the hospice nurses that came back after he passed away brought me a plaque that she had her father make. This is Doug Hoekter, don't miss God's purpose. In this.
Yes.
And she was saved that day that she brought the plaque back.
How great.
And I think that that's probably, looking at this as God's purpose, is for me to reach out to others.
Others. Mm-hmm.
And I work in a situation where I counsel people with hospice.
Uh-huh.
Pre-hospice planning, and what I'm doing is researching grief.
Uh-huh.
Because as I'm going through it now, and already I have 4 unsaved people that want more of what they've seen.
That is great. See, that's what I mean. Think of others. Oh, those hospice people are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. Okay. All right. Something you want to do, and this is get out and visit somebody. Pick somebody. And it doesn't have to be your age. You know who needs us the most now is young married couples or teenage girls. Oh, do they need somebody to care for them? Because they may come from homes that some of them could care less. I mean, they're from terrible homes. And if you pick out some of these girls, have them over for lunch or take them out or something, you would be surprised how much they would love that. They would love that. And, of course, we're with family, most of us with family. Entertain in your home. Just because your husband's gone doesn't mean you can't entertain anymore. Entertain in your home. Have the women in. Hey, if you're not a good cook, that kind of stuff, go out and buy it at the restaurant and serve it. You know, just entertain in your home. Do something you've never done before. Oh, my word. I wish I had time. I've done some things that if my husband knew, he just, oh, brother. Good things, I mean. And travel, like she said, if you're financially able. Hey, travel. If you want to go to some town here in Indiana, get out and do it. You know, do things like that. And if somebody wants you to go somewhere, get in the car and go. Read a book. Don't be bored at home. Go to the library if you want to. Go shopping. You don't have to spend money. Just go out and look. And my widow girlfriend said, no, if I go shopping, I've got to have something in mind I've got to buy. I think that's fine. But get out. Just get out and be with your friends. And, hey, this is something that has really, really encouraged me. 2 things. Well, a lot of things, but I want to bring out 2 things. Mrs. Strobane has, the Strobane's been on friends for years. They have a daughter, Brenda. Well, they have more than one, but Brenda. Do you know, Brenda has prayed for me every week on Tuesday morning. And I saw her here, and I had a chance to thank her for praying for me. Lorraine, her mother, prays for me on Mondays. You don't know how much that, I mean, I just can't tell you how much that means to me to know somebody's praying for me. And so, pick out somebody and in your prayer list, pray for that person, whatever day, and let them know that, and it means so much. And then do this. These are little things, but they're big to me. Is write somebody and pick out somebody that you know is having a hard time, or they don't have to be having a hard time, just somebody that you've loved and you've got a friend and all. Write them a love letter. And I received one of those about after Christmas. I sit down, I was floored. I was floored to hear from this person. In my wildest dreams, I would have never thought what she put on this paper. I thought, good gravy. So she wrote me a thank you note and blah, blah, all this stuff. I sit down and wrote her a thank you note for thanking me. You know, so go beyond. You know, just sit and think of things that you can do. And set goals. We're never too old to set goals. Hey, I got a lot of them. Let's see. After Don died, let's see. First thing I had to do is clean out the closets. Okay, I had to clean out closets. That was a goal. Set goals. I did some redecorating. I did some this and I did some that. Goals that I never was able, I had to put on hold. Things I had to put on hold. Well, pick up and get them done. Set yourself goals. Now, be honest. Did some of this help you? Did some of this help you? Be honest. Now, can you pick one or two things out of this that would help you? That's what I want you to do.
I did something really different as a project. I went and bought a dollhouse, a country dollhouse.
Oh.
And I'm decorating it. It's something that I can do. It's just interesting. And that,
yeah.
It's not going to be a toy for the grandchildren, but it's something that I'm going to be able to use as we share it one-on-one.
How neat.
Incorporate about Grandpa. And
yeah. Yeah.
Draw
yeah. Yeah. That is a good point. I wanted to mention that is those of us as widows and have grandchildren and children, talk about your husband. Some of these grandkids may not have never known their grandfather, and they need to know about their grandfather as much as you can share with them, kind of thing. Because I have that in my family. I have four children. I have 12 grandsons. I have two granddaughters and a great-grandson. And I can't tell you right now. I think the first five or six, remember my husband. Otherwise, from then on, they don't. And so we have to build memories of their grandpa or their father. Memories. That's what.
I'm
yes.
Sorry, but another thing that I've done, part of the hospice, I'm going to the counseling because I wanted to see what they were doing. But they had us bring pictures and share about our life. And so I took the pictures and incorporated into a story or a scrapbook. And I found as I was going through things, my husband's handwritten testimony.
Yes.
So I was able to put that in. And now as the grandkids come over, it's right on the coffee table and they can look at it whenever they want.
Yes. Great.
And their pictures are in it. So.
Yeah. That's great. See, be creative. Never too old to not be creative. Okay. The finality of our lives. After we speak of all these things, is right here. All our answers. I wanted to share with you some verses that, oh my, I don't know what I would have done without the Lord's word. During, and all of you have been, when I tell you this, you've been there. There were times I was so fearful what was going to happen. What was going to happen? I was fearful of, I knew the Lord was going to take him. I didn't know when. But what was going to happen? What would happen to me? I don't know why. I was just, what would my future hold? My life was so much in his life. What would happen to me? And it just would be on my mind. Oh, if he went, I always thought I'd go to heaven first. I prayed I'd go to heaven first, but that wasn't what God had for me. And so I just think, oh, I just get so scared. I just think, well, Lord, I know you will, but I'd always hold back. There was always something. How am I going to do this without him? How am I going to do this without him? How am I going to do this? And I'd go back to this verse, Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I don't know how many, I mean, I'd get that verse and then the Lord would bless me and I would have assurance I'd be okay. And then about 2 weeks later, here I am again. What time I'm afraid of the future, I will trust in the Lord. And boy, was that a hard day. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I could figure something out. I was always trying to figure something out, and I just couldn't get it right. And so I would have to go to this verse again. And then the Lord gave me this verse that's helped me so much. Because some days, even when he was so ill, and we were up night and day those 7 years, night and day, I would think, I can't go on, Lord. I just can't go another day. I just can't go another day. I just can't. Then I had this verse that helped me through the day. I just lived a day at a time, just like you did, a day at a time. And it's this, Psalm 143:8. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. See, I had to have that in the morning. Cause me to know the wherein I should walk, for, Lord, I lift up my soul unto thee. I had to say that every morning. Every morning. And then verse 9. Even though I was in my home for 7 years, I go out and have my hair done. My friends would take me out to lunch. But I was there in that room for 7 years. And even though I didn't get to do things that I normally would, I wasn't discontented because I would crawl to New York on my knees for my husband. He took care of me for 46 years. I loved him dearly. And this was my ministry at this time. Wasn't easy. Wish it wasn't that way. That's the way it was, and that's the way I was going to live, and I was going to make the best of it. God had a purpose. And in verse 9, I would always say this, too, with that verse, teach me to do thy will, even in that room, in that room. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. In other words, help me that day. Just help me that day. And use these verses now as widows. Use these verses every day. Listen, do you think we're always up? Up here everything's just fine and dandy and everything. I'm telling you, we have, don't we, low times? In the medium, and then high times, and our emotions go, and that's normal. That's normal. I'll confess to you. I'm tender-hearted, but we all deal with grief different. My grief was before my husband died, those years. His funeral was victorious. I begged. I don't believe in begging, but I was begging God to take him. A man 75 pounds, didn't know anything. I was taking care of a man I didn't know. It was horrible, really, speaking, and you know what I mean. And yet, I just wanted the Lord. And so my grief was before he died. And now I can sit around, and the bad times have faded. It fades and fades. But the good times, you know, that we have. Once in a while, I can sit and look through an album when the kids were little, or the grandkids were little, and all that. And I can cry. And you say, why are you crying? I say, I don't know. Have you ever found yourself doing that? I cry and I don't know. I have no idea. Hey, lady, I'll catch up with you. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll catch up with you in a minute. And so, hey, if you want to cry, cry. And you don't need to explain to anybody. Just cry and get it over with. And it will be fine. The Lord understands that. There was something else I was going to say, and I can't remember. I guess it doesn't matter. Okay, Lamentations 3:21 is another verse that I love. I just love it. This is what it says. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's not only to women that have husbands. Anybody. But hang on, ladies, to those verses. Do wonders. They'll do wonders for you when you're down and you read those. That'll pick you up. Pick you up. I want to read some of my favorite scriptures. And if you have your Bible, you can turn to Psalm 145. Okay, we're going to read the whole chapter. This is David's Psalm of Praise. And we need, ladies, we need the Song of Praise. We do. Verse 1, I will exalt thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of their terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of the great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Notice that verse 9, the Lord is good to all. That's to you widows, to everybody that's saved. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of the kingdom and talk of power, of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth through all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, raiseth up all those that bow down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. They open their hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in his works. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. That's to us women, us widows. Can't understand it sometimes. We're still on this earth. Our mind is still earthly, but he's righteous in all his works, and holy is all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him, and he will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. Here's one of my favorite verses. Right now as widows, right now, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. How great that is for us. Whether in more low times, here and up here, he knows our heart. And we shall praise the Lord forever and ever. And then verse 1 of 146. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto God while I have any being. Now mark that. Now that's our ministry right there. In a nutshell, that's our ministry. And God has been so... You stop and think. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Sit down with a paper. I do this about every 2 weeks. When I get where I think, oh, can't face the world anymore. I mean, this day has been horrible. It's just everything went wrong. Okay, I get a piece of paper out. Blessings and then things that aren't so good. I write my blessings down. You know the funny thing? When I finish, my blessings are far more than that other list. And so that makes me feel good. So I'm picked up again for that day. So do that. When you hit low, when you hit the lowest, sit down. Write that out and you'll find out the Lord has blessed us beyond, 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 beyond. I love to read. And this past week I read something that helped me. When you can't take another step, God will carry you. And you know, in Psalms, in my study Bible, I have my regular Bible here, but I have a study Bible that gives me the meaning of the verses. I love it. In one of the Psalms, it says, Jesus carries us in his arms. And I mean, just think of that. Jesus carries us in his arms. So just remember, when you can't take another step, you're just beyond, beyond. Think of this. God will carry you. And then, this tells my age. There was when I was young, 15 years old, I got a job at Winona Bible Conference. Anybody hear of that? Okay. Well, I was born in Mexico. Indiana. And people thought, when my father moved from Mexico, Indiana, down here when I was in the fourth grade, I always had dark hair, dark eyes, and I have faded out. I had such dark skin. I have a younger brother that is blonde. He was blonde. He's about 9 years younger than I am. Blonde, fair-skinned, and you could see the veins. He was so light. I'm in the middle, and then my older brother's 4 years older than I am, and he was normal looking. And here I am, looking so dark and dark complexioned after my father. And my grandmother lived, his mother lived to be 95, and she was Pennsylvania Dutch, and she had the black hair, dark eyes, and dark skin. So, you know, it was carried on there. So when I moved to Anderson in fourth grade, you know, when they introduced me and all, and where was I from? Well, I thought everybody knew Mexico, and yeah, I said Mexican. I mean, Mexico, and they said, oh, I thought you looked like a little Mexican. And I thought that was so strange. I went home and I told Mother, they think I look like a Mexican. She said, well, you really do. I mean, you know, she dressed me in red, a bow on top of my head big as an airplane, and dressed me in red, which pronounced my, you know, darkness and everything. But finally I decided, well, they didn't know Indiana, so I told, no, I'm from Indiana. Now, why did I tell you that? Oh, I'm back to Winona. I got my father went to the Bible conferences even before I was born, but then I got a job up there at 15, and hard work. I waited on thousands of people in restaurants. I mean, hard work, and loved it. But I heard all these great old speakers that you hear about. And what a blessing, what a blessing. So the thing I wanted to share with you is one of the speakers I heard was called Vance Havner. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not. But he was one of my favorites. And he said something that I written down when I was young. And it has carried me over and over and over. He said, now listen close, and you might want to write this down. You will never know that Christ is all you need. Now let me say that again. You will never know that Christ is all you need until you find that He is all you have. Okay, now the last part. Until you find that He is all you have. I'll say it again. You will never know that Christ is all you need until you find that He is all you have. And ladies, that last part, that is all we have is Christ. When we get down to the nitty-gritty. Okay, in closing, I want to pass these out. If you'll pass one to every, they're stapled. Okay. Okay, they're stapled. Oh, they said for me to be done at 10 o'clock. We're on time. Can you believe that?
Can I share one other thing?
Sure, sure.
There's something that I had prayed for, like, to boys. Mm-hmm. And that was Colossians 1, that prayer that's in there. And I wasn't sure how much my husband had suffered at the very end of his life. And part of my grieving was just that he had suffered and I didn't know it. As he wasn't able to tell me, and I hadn't covered his pain. And then the Lord, one day I was praying for my boys one morning, and I was just, I mean, it was almost a grief that's just where I couldn't go on because I was so afraid that he had been in great pain. And he reminded me of Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. It has translated us into the kingdom. And I thought about when my boys were born and the great pain, but I don't remember that pain.
No.
Because once I had them in my arms, and I thought, my husband is with the Lord. And the suffering I'm here is but a speck.
See, that's it. We never know.
The Lord just ministers.
Yes. Yes. I found that out. Don donated his brain to Alzheimer research, and when we got the autopsy back, he had another disease which created horrible pain. I'm glad we didn't know that at the time. We knew he was in terrible pain. He'd already been through brain surgeries and all. But I'm like you, even though we knew he was bad. And so, yes, those kind of things, yes. This is an old writing. I'm saying old. I can't tell you. I got this out of a magazine, and I knew these people. Now, this is a man that lost his wife, but reverse this. Did you get copies?
Yes.
Okay. This is reversed. When I read this to you, I had this copy because I wanted you to take it home and read it over. But this couple, he taught at Bob Jones English. And I can't tell you what she taught. But this was in a magazine, 207, I think it was. And so I read that. His name is Ron Horton. And I read this and I thought, now when we read this, just reverse. This is a man that lost his wife, but it'll be the same for us. Do you understand? And I'm going to read it along with you. And some of these words I can't say. How do you say paradigns? Para something. It's on, we'll get there. But I'll just go, uh-huh. That's the one. Evangelist friend would read out the, huh? Oh, okay, well, hurry. Well, it's 5 till. Have I got 5 minutes? Huh? Oh, they say yes. Well, we're going to read this and then we'll get to it. What?
We started 10:15.
Yes, but they told me try get them out 10 because they might have to use a bathroom and stuff like that. So we'll hurry. It'll only take a few minutes and then we'll close. Okay. When I get to that word, I'll go, because I had an evangelist friend, he would read in the Old Testament, and he couldn't say some of those words, so he'd go, okay. All right, here's his testimony. God insists on our trust that what he determines as best for his purpose will be best for us as well. On about 10:30 on Thursday evening, nearly 7 years ago, now this is 07, 7 years ago, when I woke at midnight, I was surprised to find that bedroom lights still on and the bathroom door shut. I forced the door and found Martha slumped in the bathtub. When I lifted her out, I noticed the water was lukewarm. She evidently had died soon after I had gone to sleep. I had much to do right away, arranging for the bestowing of the body, comforting my daughters, and leaving plans for my teaching the next day. I took some personal time with the Lord before retiring for what was left of the night and got up the next morning to attend the day's business. Martha was 55 and apparently in good health. When we had been married 31 years without any serious health issues. There had been no heart attack. The best guess of the doctors was that she had died of an aneurysm, whatever that word is. Nothing was more obvious in her death than the hand of the Lord. He had taken her when he pleased without evident cause. I suffered keenly from the blow, but strangely steady from the start. I realized later that God had been preparing me for years for what I experienced then. God is always ahead of us in trials. He sends our way. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Martha's death tested and refined my thinking about personal loss and grief management. I really neither got nor needed any information about coping with death. It is all in the Bible, which I had read daily for many years, but the Holy Spirit, the master teacher, extends and deepens and artfully administers what we already know. He brings to our minds what he has taught us when we need it, when we are undergoing the experiences to which it specifically applies. The most important thing to understand at such time is something that should be settled in our mind long before such a loss occurs. It is that the Lord is jealous of his authority to set the limits of life. It extends its resources, its opportunities, its direction, its task, its satisfaction. He also insists on our trust that what he determines as best for his purposes will be best for us as well. It is Satan who encourages the idea that our true interests are at odds with God's. It is natural for a man to feel decompleted by the death of his wife. Now, reverse that. The woman was created to help the man. Marriage is normally God's way of providing for man's physical and emotional needs. But God has more than one way to complete a life, and his idea of completeness, his particular case, may be very well different from ours. The Lord himself is the great companion. Paul can live joyously in the fact of that truth. Although the wife is naturally, although our husband is naturally the first husband, earthly concern, she cannot be ultimate gratification center of his life if after her death the center is to hold. It is a paradoxical truth that a man cannot love his wife as he should unless he loves God more. His relationship with God must be primary. If this relationship is weak or missing, when sorrow strikes, the loss can be devastating, both for a man and for a woman for remaining family. The death of a spouse is not the best time to rebuild a relationship with God, though it is a good time if the relationship is missing. A second important realization is that deprivation are occasions for God's special grace. Grief is highly individual thing. It differs just as persons differ in temperament, experience, dependency, spiritual condition. For some, there comes instantly a peace and a reigning calm. For others, this peace is hard won. Before calm may be emotional collapse, a response perfectly natural and not to be condemned. Whichever occurs, God has a way of making himself especially real to us in our times of acute emotional needs. Perhaps you can remember a time when you were almost spellbound by the words, simple, eloquent words of someone who was as earnest as that person had ever been in his or her life. Words of intense, riveting, intelligent, insisting you understand your importance and how much you are loved. There may have been a touch of sternness, of gentle reproach in the loving reminder. Your mind was spinning in the awe of it all, and you felt small and engulfed in almost unbearable joy. With it also was a sense of shame from having forgotten something that was never to be forgotten. They needed always to be remembered for your own good. If so, that moment gave you only the slightest glimpse of the immense, intense, persistent, knowing love of God. To feel alone in the world without loving attention is the darkest of feelings. No bereaved wife or husband in touch with his God need ever feel that way. God will make sure he does not. Third, deprivations are also occasions for us to be aware of the love of those who care about us, who close around us to share hurt, to weep with those that weep, to be loved and valued in surely the deepest human need. In grief, we can be reassured of the love of friends as well as the love of God. We are made to understand that we are treasured to a degree hardly known when life goes on uninterrupted by such loss. Fourth, grief and that word are not always applicable as claimed. Recipes for grieving devised by experts may or may not be helpful or even welcome. They can still leave untouched the sense of the world. Unmade and needing somehow to be remade. They may be superficial if God has done the healing work already. Don't feel obligated to follow someone else's plan or advice. What works for some may not work or necessarily for you. God can conduct your recovery. But don't ungraciously spur the well-intentioned advice of friends. Printed materials can go in a drawer or be read and not read on occasions, as occasions and inclination suggest. And fifth, don't be in a hurry to disregard remembrances. There will be a time to empty the husband or wife's closets and drawers, but it may not be it need not be now. Their emotional needs for continuance, and will find comfort and pleasure in rich memories attached to objects that remind you of the deceased. You can enjoy reliving shared times without morbidly living in the past. Finally, realize that low spirits are normal, entirely normal, and to be expected. The common notion that low spirits are sinful and at least spiritually suspect is contrary with scriptures. Jesus' soul was exceedingly sorrowing to death as he entered the garden to pray. Paul had a lifetime dispirited grief, great heaviness, and continued sorry for his people, the Jews. Abraham may be our example when, after her death, he came to mourn Sarah and to weep for her. His mourning was planned and of some duration. After Martha died, I knew I would be in low spirits for undetermined time and ask God to help me make use of them. Low spirits need never interfere with the Lord's promised peace and joy. Now that's a great point too, right there. One of the greatest facts of the scripture is purposely suffering. Suffering can be corrective or empowering or both. For the Christian, the past exists for the sake of the future. In the wisdom and power of our wonderful working God, our every losses can be transmuted into gains. Now take this home and read this again, because there's a lot in there to help us. And I want to encourage you, ladies, as I pray for each one of you, wherever you are now, that God will be gracious and kind and provide all your needs. And I know he never will fail you. I'm glad to be with you. We've got a lady here that came in she's a dear friend, and when I had them do at the beginning, and I want you, tell when your husband died and how long you were married. Isn't that what I had you do? Okay. And I have you stand and tell that. Okay.
He died in November with Alzheimer's and probably bladder cancer, and we were married 48 years.
And this is, tell your name. This is
Linda Warren.
Mm-hmm. Well, ladies, this is it.
Thank you.
I really appreciated being with you, and I pray that some of this, if you pick up one idea that will help you, that will be great. That will be great. And so I'm glad to meet all of you again, some of you again, and have a good day.